pick up the authorized version of the Holy Scriptures in front of you in the pew and turn with me to the 9th chapter of the book of Job. Job chapter 9. The 9th chapter of the book of Job. We're reading from verse 1 to verse 10. And we read it together on the Lord's Day morning, taking your time from me. Job chapter 9, verses 1 to 10. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, and how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered, which removeth the mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it rises not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, and Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, which doeth great things, past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Amen. And God will seal the reading of his infallible word to our hearts in Jesus' name. Let us pray. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Job chapter 9 and at the verse 4. Who hath hardened himself against him, that is against God, and hath prospered? Who hath hardened himself against God and prospered? The answer to that question is not one. Fighting against God is a disaster. Wicked men in their follies try to excuse themselves and try to argue that they can get the better of God. When a man admits he's an enemy of God, he will always find some excuse for his sinful and wicked ways. Sinners are good at hiding behind the inconsistencies of the saints of God. A true Christian, walking in the light of God and in obedience to God, gives a stinging rebuke to every sinner. The sinner hates a holy saint of God. The sinner is filled with hatred when he beholds a man or a woman walking in obedience to God's commandments and in consistency to the standards of the Bible. The true Christian shows up the sinner and exposes his iniquity. The devil has run ransacked all his armories of opposition to find every weapon he can to lambast the saint of God who walks with the Lord. When sinners slander me, I should rejoice. When the world condemns me, I should sing the praises of God. When the devil opposes me, I should shout loud hallelujah. When the devil attacks me, it is a sign that I am damaging his kingdom. Alas, today, Christians who do not live in obedience to Christ give the devil a stick with which he can strike at God and his work. And I want to consider with you a very sad subject today, a very solemn subject today, the subject of how Christians help the devil do his dirty work. How sad it is that believing men and women could supply the devil with tools to oppose God. Let us examine those acts of believers which enable Satan and his followers to attack Christ and to attack his work. These inconsistencies, are so common among believing people today that they are covered over and forgotten by many in Christian society. First of all, the worldliness of Christians. Looking on the outward appearance today, it is not easy to discern the difference between the saved and the lost, the regenerate and the unregenerate, those born again and those who are not born again. There are many Christians in whose life it is just very difficult to discover the least line of demarcation between saintliness and worldliness. Their frivolities are the same. Their conversation is the same. Their recreations are the same. Their jokes are the same. Their companionships are the same. And their outlooks are the same. When the Church of Christ becomes as worldly as the world itself, when they become as foolish as the world itself, then the devil takes the church by the throat, and the devil has a field day of easy victories. When the worldling can turn on the Christian church and rightly accuse her of being as filthy and as unclean as the world itself, then that church has become the devil's best ally. Again, when the devil and the world can accuse the child of God of just as being as covetous as the world, then the child of God becomes the ally of Satan doing his dirty work. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet. The so-called Christian who manifests this covetousness as other worldlings do gives the devil a handle to which to thrash the church of Jesus Christ, making the church an easy target for Satan and the helpful partner in his deceiving work. But the jewels of the Christians are not the real jewels of grace, but are mere gaudy toys. And the gold of the church is not reality gold, but sort of dirt. Then the devil has found ready helpers in his field of deception. And that is far too common in Christian experience today. And then there's not only the mingling of the church with the world, but there is the loftiness of Christians, which is the loftiness of pride, and is manifested abroad in the church. To what lofty heights the church professes attainment. We should always remember that pride dug hell and damned the devil. Wars, fightings, lusts, craving of the flesh, greed for possessions, all become targets and objects of the child of God, backslidden through pride. Christ warned us of these various enmities, strifes, and divisions, which would drain the church of Jesus Christ of its real spiritual power. Then, alas, in the midst of it all, some lofty one in the church is thrown down. Some prominent person is overcome. Some man who has practiced sin in secret has been found out, and as a fallen tree, he lies on the ground, carrying the obituary notice of disaster. Religion is held aloft by the devil to be a fraud, and the whole world holds carnival. On one occasion, when Mr. Spurgeon's great church was passing through deep waters, the great preacher said this: "I was thinking only yesterday, with much sorrow in my heart, of the present age. And I could not but come to the conclusion that all the burnings of pagan tyrants, all the tortures of popish executioners, all the bloody deaths to which God's people were ever put in one age of the world, have never done so much hurt to the cause of Christ as the inconsistencies of professing Christians today." It was about 3 years ago, I think, that failures among religious men seemed to be the order of the day. And our papers literally teemed with accusations against the church of God. Oh, my brethren, let us not talk of these things except with mourning and with tears. Wrap thyself in sackcloth, O church of God. Put away thy laughter. Cast ashes on thine head. For the crown of thy glory is departed. Thy garments are stained, and the filthiness of thy skirts bear witness against thee. O Church of Christ, thy Nazarites were purer than snow. They were whiter than milk, but now their visage is blacker than a coal, and their hands are defiled with iniquity. Remember thou the time of thy purity, when thy priests were glorious, and thy sons and daughters were clothed in royal apparel. How art thou fallen? How art thou cast down from thy high mountains? The princes are clothed in rags. The veils are plucked from the faces of thy daughters. And thou thyself have become disconsolate, and a widow by reason of the iniquity of thy sons and of thy daughters. Woe unto us, for thy glory is departed. Thy sun is covered with thick darkness, and thy stars withhold their light. The crown is fallen from thy head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. Throw light into the darkened cells where passions reign within. Quicken my conscience till it feels the loathsomeness of sin. Search all my thoughts, the secret springs, the motives that control, the chambers where polluted things hold empire o'er my soul. Search till thy fiery glance has cast its ray of light through me, and I by grace am brought at last before thy face to fall. In the year 1859, as the great Ulster Revival was burning here in our own province, there was a great outbreath of the Holy Spirit in the Principality of Wales. Mr. Spurgeon went preaching in Wales, and he came back to his own church, and he gave a report to his own people of the strange things happening in the Principality of Wales. He said, "We have become far too accustomed to be silent when we come to listen to the gospel. Not so in Wales today. There is to be heard, as the gospel is preached, a word of acclamation. Every person in the congregation seems to express the feeling of his own soul in audible praise and prayers and cries to God. And at last, when the Spirit has descended, the whole congregation is filled with the shout, 'Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God!' As each precious sentence drops from the lips of the preacher, it seems to be taken up and fed into the very hearts of the people until they shout aloud in joy." "I believe," said the great preacher, "it is a great improvement in how we English people listen to the gospel. The dullness of our churches, the apathy in our pews, the deadness of our prayers, the lack of luster in our singing, all indict us that we must be in a very cold state in our hearts and in our minds and our souls. Oh, for more earnestness among the people of God. Oh, that the coldness may depart from us and the warmth of God's fire may burn in our souls." Inconsistency in the believers' lives encourages others to sin. Nothing encourages us to sin more than feasting on the inconsistencies of other Christians. Is your life an example of holiness, or is it an example of sinfulness? When a believer shows very little anxiety over his sins, when he indulges often in that which is sinful and wicked, when he lives entirely to himself and for himself, when he repudiates any responsibility for his wicked influence on others, when he denies that he is his brother's keeper, then he has become an agent of the devil. Your attitude to sin, child of God, encourages a similar attitude in the lives of others. In fact, it becomes a salve to many of other man's conscience. The sinning Christian becomes a refuge of lies, and into that refuge of lies others creep and hide themselves and go on in their sinning. Think of it. My life as a child of God to be an excuse for some man to build a refuge of lies and conceit himself therein. What a wicked person a child of God can become in a backslidden condition. What a wicked person you become when you supply anyone with any encouragement to sin. Sinful Christian, you bear a terrible responsibility. Are you not the encourager to iniquity? Are you in reality not an employee of the devil himself doing his dirty work? May God save us from such employment. How Satan? Has Satan not thousands of demons to do this dirty work? And yet he turns and employs a sinning saint of God. O followers of Jesus Christ, O believers in our Lord, will you continue to serve Satan and allow yourself to be used by him for this evil end? How can we win men to Christ if our conversation and example leads them astray? Remember, you cannot be a channel of blessing if you consciously trifle with sin. You'll be a buyer and a hindrance to those you are trying to win. I would like to blast away the great obstacles and make you an encourager to souls and not in any way their hindrance. Let us cease from doing the devil's dirty work. Let us ask God to cleanse and search our souls until we are clean every whit. Christ is looking for cleansed Christians, consecrated to his service. Let us cease from doing the devil's dirty work. Let us ask God to cleanse us and cleanse us and cleanse it again. The traitor is the worst of enemies. Let us cry to God for forgiveness, and let us remain absolutely true to our Lord and King. Only then, and then only, can we gain the victory if we're going to see Christ really conquer. He must first conquer us. From the depths of our heart, let us cry, crown him with many crowns. Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands, his feet. Rich wounds, yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends his burning eye at mysteries so bright. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring. and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways. From pole to pole, that wars may cease, and all be prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round his pierced feet, fair flowers of paradise extend their fragrance ever sweet. May God help us to lie at the dust at the Master's throne today, and let the Holy Ghost search us and search us and search us until every dark place is illuminated with God's light, and every hidden sin is uncovered by God's searchlight, and until we come to have a baptism of his blood and a baptism of his spirit again, that we may go forth clean to bear the vessels of the Lord, who hast hardened himself against God and prospered. May we not harden ourselves to the Lord, but may we lay ourselves open before him, and may we say, Lord, cleanse me until I am fitted for your work. Lord, fill me until I'm empowered for your work. And Lord, keep me going in God's way, no matter who around me strays, and who around me thinks I'm mad, let them think it. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And when we get that consecration of heart, that crucifixion of the flesh, when we get this mighty shadow of the cross continually upon us, then we will do the things that God will have us do, and we'll know the seal and power of his anointing. May it be so for Jesus' sake. Let us bow our heads. Lord, we pray today that thou wilt work on our hearts. What can we say? We remember that you charge your angels with folly, so pure, so holy thou art. We have sinned. We have gone astray. We have not been what we should have been, and we know it. And, O God, because of our sin, others have sinned and made us an excuse for their sinning. O God, may we open up to thee today. May we not close any doors. May there be no secret place in our lives that thou canst not enter. Help us to open every door. Help us to break every lock. Help us to invite thee, Lord, into every nook and cranny of our heart. And Lord, bring with thee thy precious cleansing blood. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than snow. And then fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And may we not harden ourselves against God, but may we soften ourselves for God, so that he can use us mightily to bring others to himself. Speak to our hearts today. We feel so guilty. We feel so vile. We feel so terrible as the light of God dawns upon us. Oh God, make it not only a search day, but a day of cleansing, a day of consecration, and a day when we will sign off and sign the Lord on. Oh God, may there be a sign up in total consecration to yourself. Hear this, our cry, for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.